All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for hour number two of our big two-hour weekend get-together here on A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and of course the host of the program is Carol Marks, one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism. This hour, Carol will be joining us in an interesting discussion coming up in just a moment. We'll also be joined by our senior correspondent, Richard Neer, who'll be talking with Regina Lewis, an expert on financial planning and host of USA Today's Money Quick Tips. She's going to talk to Richard about the fact that grandparents are playing a much larger role in their family's financial affairs. So that's coming up later in the program. But let's jump right into it now. Here's Carol Marks in conversation with Tim and Debbie Bishop. They are the co-authors of a new book titled Two Are Better, Midlife Newlyweds Bicycle Coast to Coast. It's published by Open Road Press.
Now, Tim, you and Debbie were 50-plus singles who met on the Internet and dated off and on for 7 years. So what made you decide to get married in 2010?
Well, in 2010 was a good year to get married. We had waited many, many years, a lot of years of praying and searching and waiting, and the time had come when we were drawn together and had spent more time in serious relationship over a couple years. It was still a long-distance relationship, but we just felt the time was right. I proposed to Debbie on the top of Cadillac Mountain in Acadia National Park in Bar Harbor, Maine, as the sun was setting.
Romantic.
And she said yes.
Very good. Now let's talk, Tim, about one of the most unusual honeymoons I've ever heard of. After being married for only 2 weeks, what made you both decide to go on a 3,529-mile cross-country bike trip when most newlyweds would think about a nice tropical island for their honeymoon?
Well, actually, we hadn't really talked about this bike trip before I proposed, at least in terms of us doing it. And after I proposed and Debbie accepted, it was just a few minutes when I kind of threw out the idea. It really just kind of just came out of me because I didn't have, I'd simultaneously retired, quote-unquote, from this corporate position. And I didn't really have plans for the summer. And this is something that I had always wanted to do. And later, I found out Debbie had always wanted to do it as well. So we kind of discussed it casually, but, you know, we were processing a pretty weighty decision already in that we were going to be husband and wife soon. And we had to plan for a wedding. So, you know, we just kind of thought about the bike trip, but there wasn't a lot of time. I proposed on April 22nd, and we were married on June 19th and bicycling on July 3rd. So after a week or two, we said we should take this bicycle trip. This is an opportunity we may never have again, and why wouldn't we do it?
Now, Tim, when you started your trip in Seaside, Oregon, and it was supposed to end in Cape Elizabeth, Maine, did you have any idea how much actual ground you would be able to cover, or was that still kind of a mystery?
That was very much a mystery. We had no idea what kind of capabilities we would have to do this. We were both recreational bicyclists, I would call it, you know, maybe 50 miles a week over a couple rides. And when we got into the trip, the first thing, the very first day, in fact, just as we left Seaside, Oregon, with loaded bicycles, I mean, this is a self-supported tour, so everything we needed we carried with us, we encountered this grade. And I thought, wait a minute, why are we getting into mountains already? We're on the ocean, you know, on the seacoast here. And so we had a lot of doubt about our ability to climb through certainly the Rockies. We had no idea how steep the grades would be. We didn't know how many miles we would be able to log. And we're also newlyweds, so we had some other interests as well.
And, Debbie, here you were, both of you, on Trek 520 touring bikes that were brand new to you. And looking back, wish you had a little bit more training on them before you set out?
Oh, yes. Actually, when we were on our honeymoon, we took about a four-day mini honeymoon on the coast of Maine, and we practiced riding our bikes before we shipped them out to Oregon. And I remember going up this little hill, and I tipped over and fell. But actually, the panniers that are on the bicycles sort of acted like bumpers, and I fell quite a few times across the country. But, yeah, I wish we had more time, but it all worked out because both of us, Tim said, you know, we weren't in that great of a shape, but we've both always exercised and been pretty healthy. So, yeah, that was the way it went.
Now, for the first 15 days, Debbie, you went at an ambitious pace, 56 miles daily. And what I love about your book is that you and Tim have a narrative in different color inks, so we get both of your feelings and opinions. And Tim's is in black, and I love the fact yours is in magenta, my favorite color.
Uh-huh.
So why, Debbie, did you write during those 50 days that you were doubtful about finishing the trip? What was it that was bothering you?
Well, the thing that was bothering me was that I was sort of comparing. I had a friend that bicycled across the country, and I knew them very well as a couple. And they had fun, and they were laughing all the time. And Tim is very thoughtful and very serious, and he was, you know, really concerned about our safety. So when we would be biking, one time I said, "Oh, I want to let's go swimming over there," and it was sort of dangerous. It was through brush, and there were snakes on the road. And he's like, "Deb, I don't know if that's the best idea." And I just wanted to stop and, you know, do all this stuff. But then he kept me on task, which was a good thing. We really had to get back in a certain amount of time. So those first few weeks, I mean, I was still sort of tired from, you know, all the changes, getting out of school and then getting married, and, you know, everything happened so fast. So I think when we hit the road, those first 15 days, I was kind of freaking out. And plus, I was so newly married, I'm like, I don't really know this guy that well, you know, so I sort of had those questions, too. Like, what did I get myself into?
Yeah, and didn't you have a really sore rear end? I mean, that would really have bothered me.
Yes, I had. Actually, it was an abscess, and it was about the size, I'd say, of a small golf ball. And it was on my butt, so I had to sit on the seat and sort of rearrange myself. And finally, in Great Falls, we went to the doctor, and she said I had to have it drained, which was kind of gross. But after we spent 5 days in Great Falls, Montana, and at that time we got some rest. We just hung out. It was a really nice break, and I healed, and I could not wait to get back on the bike. So that was sort of a turning point for me. Was just let's go, let's do this, and that was sort of neat because it revived our spirits at that time.
Now, besides the physical aches and pains you both experienced on the trip, you both had close calls with getting seriously injured. So, Debbie, tell us about your experience with a truck. And then, Tim, didn't you have a meeting with three unfriendly dogs? So can you tell us about that? So first, Debbie, what was that truck all about?
We were riding on the Oregon Highway. And I had pulled out, and I was between a tractor trailer and another service moving object. It was a service truck. And so I sort of went over to the right, and I hit the rumble strip. You know those rumble strips that we
yes.
pull up? So my tire sort of got caught in that, and I was sort of shaking back and forth, and Tim was behind me, and he saw the whole thing. I was amazed that I didn't get flattened between the two vehicles moving. That was really scary. And Tim's going to tell you about the dog incident.
Yeah, that was an experience. I'm not really keen on having dogs chase me regardless.
I don't blame you.
No matter the size. Well, these were pretty large ones. And we were out in almost a desert. There were very few homes around. And there was this house way set back off the road. And I could see these three dogs running even before we got to where the home was. And they were just bolting. And they kept coming. And as we kept riding, you know, we weren't we weren't going to turn back. there was no other way to go other than forward. And they just kept coming and coming and coming. And when I got to the end of the driveway, there they were, and they didn't back off. There was one in particular that was really aggressive. And he circled the bike, and I just kept pedaling. And he grabbed onto one of my panniers, and I was dragging him for probably 10 feet or so. And eventually it let go. And of course, I'm wondering about Debbie, who's behind me. And what happened was a car came in the other direction, which kind of herded the dogs back toward their own driveway. And so we made it through that attack without getting ourselves injured.
That's Tim and Debbie Bishop in conversation with Carol Marks, and we have more coming your way of this conversation. If you're just joining us, their book is titled Two Are Better, Midlife Newlyweds, Bicycle Coast to Coast. It's published by Open Road Press. And in part two, coming up in just a moment, they're going to talk about how they dealt with conflict on their adventure. That should be interesting. That and more coming your way when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security websites. Pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly. That's socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and if you want more information about some of the resources available to you as you put on the years, which we all do, or you want to hear about or read about the adventures of Carol Marks, or just tap into some of the great conversations we've had over the years on this program, which is over 20 years on the radio. That's not bad, huh? It certainly is available to you at our website, atouchofgray.com, and we spell gray with an E, so check it out. All right, let's get back to the conversation. Carol Marks, front and center. She's the host of the program. She's talking with a midlife newlywed couple that rode coast to coast on bicycles and made a book about it. It's called Two Are Better, Midlife Newlyweds, Bicycle Coast to Coast, published by Open Road Press. Here's Carol Marks with part two of our conversation with Tim and Debbie Bishop.
You had other challenges on the trip. I just loved the fact that, Tim, that you and Debbie went through the pass that Lewis and Clark used when they went around the Rockies to the West Coast. They're my heroes. So how challenging was it riding your bike up and down that steep road, and how beautiful was the scenery? Were you able to admire it, or were you too busy pedaling?
Well, the scenery was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. In Idaho, the Clearwater National Forest is a very remote area. It's, you know, there's no development through there. And you have these huge evergreen trees that are just filling, you know, adjacent mountains, and you have this water, few streams coming down the mountain, actually more than streams, some pretty good running water through those, but just a beautiful setting, and it was a perfect day, or days, I guess we were there 2 days, with blue sky, and just as deep blue as you could see, and the climb itself was very, very gradual. So it really took a lot of the bite out of trying to push up the hill, at least until we got to the steeper part near Lolo Pass. And that became a little bit more difficult. We were just crawling up that piece of the road in our lowest gear on the bike. And, of course, there were curves at that point as it was going up a mountain and switchbacks. And there was quite a bit of traffic. It was U.S. Route 12, so there was two-way traffic on a two-lane road. In some places, not a lot of shoulder for us. So all we did was one pedal stroke at a time and eventually made it to the top. But it was quite an experience.
Yeah, and I bet you have new admiration for Lewis and Clark.
Yeah, that's right, and they had to do it by foot.
That's right. And besides the gorgeous scenery, following their path, you went to many beautiful places. There are 100 magnificent color photos in your book. So besides the pass across the Rockies, if you had to say, what was the most inspiring and gorgeous other spot that you saw?
I think from my vantage point, I was just blown away by Montana in general. And it wasn't any specific spot. It was simply the expansiveness and just beauty of that, of the fact it was just wide open. It had these beautiful wheat fields. You could see mountains leaving you from behind. And it was just, I thought, an awesome setting. And, you know, you can compare that to another spot on our trip was Niagara Falls. And many people are familiar with that, and that was equally impressive. But I'd never really been out west and experienced what I saw in Montana. Western part of the state was beautiful in that it had, you know, forests and mountains to add to, you know, the streams that you rode beside, and it was just an awesome setting. To top it off, we saw a couple eagles flying overhead.
Mm.
So I'll let Debbie weigh in on hers.
Yes. What made the most impression for you?
I would actually say that Vermont and New Hampshire, even though we've been there before, I loved the rolling and the steep hills, and I also liked eastern New York. We went through the Adirondacks. And I guess since we were in better shape at that time, I liked the challenge and just the greenery. I loved everything that with all the trees and everything.
Now, I have another question for you, Debbie. Both of you were living in cramped quarters, and you have different personalities, and it's been mentioned that Tim's very detail-oriented. He likes to plan ahead, and you're adventuresome. So you both had kind of an emotional meltdown in, I guess you call it, Umatilla, Oregon. So what happened and how were you able to resolve your conflicts, and how important is it, because I think it is, for couples to be able to compromise?
That's a really good question. Umatilla was a turning point for us because I think I had had some tension building up, and I remember the day that we got to Umatilla, that morning we were repairing a flat tire, and my whole idea for this bike trip was that we'd get up early. Since I'm a teacher, I always get up at 5:30, 6 o'clock and get going. So we didn't leave that morning. Actually, it was the afternoon, 1:30 in the afternoon. And by then, I was so mad. I'm like, it's 1:30, it's 100 degrees, what are we doing? And Tim did buy me some M&Ms that morning, so I was in a little better mood. But then I was just hot and tired, so we get to Umatilla, and I said something really sarcastic or something like, you know, you're just not that much fun, and I don't know if I want to do this. And he said, I'm your husband. You're supposed to be listening to me. And so we got into the hotel room, and I went off. We had a pool at that hotel, so I went swimming, and he stayed in the room. And I pray a lot. Both of us have a very strong faith, so I think that helped us resolve the conflict. And I did go swimming, and we had some time apart, and that really seems to cool things down. And I have to realize he is my husband, and he was sort of the leader on the trip, and I had to, really follow, because honestly, if I was navigating across the country, we would still be on the trip.
Tim and Debbie Bishop in conversation with Carol Marks, talking about their book and their adventure, Two Are Better, Midlife Newlyweds Bicycle Coast to Coast. It's published by Open Road Press. And if you want more information, go to the website openroadpress.com. Thank you, Carol Marks. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor seat. We're going to be joined by our senior correspondent, Richard Neer, for some interesting conversation and interviews coming up next when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here on this great talk radio station in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving. According to the U.S. Department of Energy, speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're joined the rest of the way by our senior correspondent, Richard Neer, who just moments from now will be speaking with Regina Lewis, an expert on financial planning and the host of USA Today's Money Quick Tips. She's going to talk to Richard about the fact that grandparents are playing a larger role in their family's financial affairs. Richard, I know you already conducted the interview. You've heard it, obviously, because you conducted it. This is something we've been hearing about a long time now, that the grandparents are being pulled in to extended responsibilities financially and otherwise because of the difficult nature of getting by in today's society.
Well, yeah, and college, and this is something we talked to Regina about, is very, very expensive, as you know. And her suggestions are you got to start pretty much before birth, and that if people you get involved in this thing, like putting aside money, the better. And if you can get the grandparents invested in that as opposed to, just a check at birth or something like that, if you can get invested into a plan with compound interest, it can really grow into a substantial amount by the time the kids are college age.
Well, okay, you know, I'm sure the grandparents in many cases have to really worry about planning for their own retirement. You know, this whole era that we're moving into very rapidly, there seems to be a growing tide of resentment and worry over the cost of higher education in general. I see it heading at a tipping point, and I'm not quite sure what's going to tip when it tips, but do you get the feeling that people are starting to say, wait a second, look at what we're doing here? We're saddling young people with enormous loan debts. We're saddling families with worries that are so far beyond their budgetary reality, with these gigantic numbers to put kids through college. What do you think?
Well, yeah, and I think we're also having a reaction in some quarters against a liberal arts education, whereas a lot of people are saying, well, let's concentrate on a particular trade. You know, maybe college isn't for everybody. Let's go to a trade school, or let's go to a school that specializes. If you're a business major, you don't need to take all these literature courses in English and Latin and languages. You just need to concentrate on business, which is narrowing the focus and yet, you know, excluding the whole person, I think, in a lot of ways.
So basically, if what you're saying is correct, and I think you're right on the money, the increasing costs of education is actually lowering the quality of education in our society, that we are becoming increasingly uneducated as individuals, unrounded.
More specialized, more expertise in our given fields, but less as a Renaissance person, if you want to take it to the full length.
Well, I mean, I would think that before somebody could vote intelligently, before somebody could do their specialty intelligently, they have to have a well-rounded education in literature, in history, in math, in science, and in the arts. I don't know. I worry. I worry for, you know, I ultimately believe everything will be okay, but sometimes during these transitional periods, things are not okay, and I think we're going to go through a long, difficult transitional period in terms of...
Well, there's a debate now even about teaching cursive writing, if that's something that's necessary in the future.
Well, that, you know, I certainly can understand changing the means of the tools of expression, but the knowledge itself must not be lost. How we write, you know, secondary. What we write is very important. Okay, we'll look forward to that conversation coming up next, and then Richard, join us again at the end of the program after that conversation. Richard Neer, our senior correspondent. I'm Michael Harrison. Stick around. We've got plenty more coming your way when A Touch of Gray continues.
You're age 65, and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly. That's socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's the Shriners Hospital, helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and now as promised, here's our senior correspondent, Richard Neer, in conversation with Regina Lewis. She's an expert on financial planning and the host of USA Today's Money Quick Tips. She's going to talk to Richard about the fact that grandparents are playing a larger role in their family's financial affairs.
I guess, Regina, the old saw is still true that you can never begin to save for college too early, can you?
I mean, the sooner the better because of the power of compound interest. Albert Einstein famously called it the eighth wonder of the world. So, of course, the more time you have, the better. My concern, Richard, though, is for, especially for people listening who have grandchildren who are a bit older, maybe they're tweens or teens, is you think, oh, well, I missed the boat. We didn't do it when they were a newborn or toddler. And not the case. Really, you know, if you've not put a 529 plan in place or started savings for college, today's your best day.
Regina, the problem a lot of people see are the interest rates are so low. I mean, if you buy a CD, it could be 1% or less, even for a considerable length of time. What's your advice in terms of where to put that money?
Well, I'll tell you what I like about 529 savings plans is there's a lot of tax incentives. So, first of all, you get the return, we'll call it, you know, 5% for the sake of argument. So if you put $100 in, and then you can auto-enroll to contribute. So maybe you say, you know what, take $25 out of whatever income you have, whether it's a paycheck, whatever means, ask for that to happen. That's money you don't see. That's money you've budgeted. That's perhaps manageable for more of folks. And then 15 years later, you are able to take those funds out on a tax-free basis. So you are not paying for the income. So now suddenly it's worth $7,000. You don't pay federal or state income taxes on that withdrawal or the gains along the way. And I think that's a tremendous advantage, especially at a time where you're right. The percentage increase on some other investments, CDs, et cetera, are not through the roof, and they don't have the same tax incentives.
And this auto-enroll is a great idea because, as you said, you don't see the money. It's money you don't have in your pocket,
right,
so you're not tempted to spend
it. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think it takes something that seems just so lofty, right? If you look at the average cost of private university right now, $39,000. State college, $18,000. Also not a small number. That's for a single year. Wow, no wonder people throw their arms up. So to break it down and pay along the way in increments that are manageable, suddenly that feels doable. And I think it's one of the reasons why you're seeing families do it collectively, because maybe aunts and uncles give $25 a month. Grandparents are now contributing as much as 10% of all the monies that are in 529 plans currently because they're onto this as well. And now you're really talking.
You certainly are. And let me take the other side, though. What happens if the child reaches maturity and decides college is not for them, they'd rather go to a trade school or maybe enroll in the service or something else? What happens to the money in terms of the tax consequences?
Yeah, it's a great question. Well, one, usually have a fairly big window so they could, for instance, pick another path and then decide that they wanted to go back to school or graduate school, et cetera, and you've got a big window there. Also, most grandparents generally are blessed with multiple grandchildren, and you can pass the monies down. You can name a different beneficiary, even one of your adult children. So there's the ability to move it that way and not have the tax consequences. And worst case scenario, if you did need to pull out the money, while there are some penalties, It is a lot less restrictive than penalties people might be familiar with other things. But for the most part, I think what generally happens is people will simply change beneficiaries.
And you also have to think in terms of scholarships. And I know when people hear scholarships, they think of great academic achievement or perhaps athletic achievement. But there is so much money available in so many other ways, isn't there?
There is. But I'll tell you, it's awfully hard to get. And my concern is sometimes I think people hold off savings thinking, well, maybe we'll get lucky and get a scholarship. We're not lucky. I don't mean to discount the benefit of scholarships. But the reality is there are very few full rides out there, which means you are going to be faced with room and board. What about the computer? Those are the kinds of things that are considered eligible expenses to take tax-free withdrawals from a savings plan. And so you really have to look at the total cost. But you are right in pointing out there are right now some websites have search engines with 1.5 million scholarships worth $3 billion. But it is very competitive to get them.
Yeah, and again, they're not full rides, but they're a little bit of a boost, a little bit of a help. And the other scary thing, I was reading today that college textbooks can cost as much as $1,000 a semester. Now, they're trying to transition in some cases to electronic books, but still, it's very, very expensive just for the books.
Yeah, I mean, I think used textbooks has long been the way to go. Reselling textbooks at the end of your class is a way to earn cash and put them towards whatever you need for the following semester. But the biggest thing that's happening in terms of education transformation is, to your point, technology. And there's expected to be some cost savings from that. And I think it's, you know, really one of the last industries to have reaped the benefits of the efficiencies of technology. You've seen it happen in almost every other major industry. So hopefully that is actually going to keep college costs from escalating any further, that there'll be a plateau and that the costs will become more manageable. But I don't think it's going to be too distant in the future where kids are just walking around with tablets with all the textbooks loaded on them.
Now, Regina, you bring up the technology, and a lot of major universities are starting online courses. Are those going to be eligible for this kind of tax-free money, or does it have to be actual brick-and-mortar attendance?
It's a good question. I believe it's absolutely eligible because you are buying credits. So one of the common myths, though, is that online classes are cheaper. And they're not, because you are buying, as a university, I wouldn't want to discount my online courses because, one, I'm competing with myself, but two, the person is paying for credits towards graduation, and it's the cost of those credits. So as long as you're taking a course online for accreditation and a degree, that qualifies as tuition, but just don't expect it to be at a discounted price than showing up on campus. Now, obviously, you don't have things like room and board, so there are some efficiencies, things like commutes. But the class itself, usually people are very surprised to learn, wow, okay, that costs what a regular class costs, and it's hundreds, if not thousands of dollars.
Yeah, no doubt. So the big three, savings, loans, and scholarship. What about loans now? I know there was some contention in Congress recently. They lowered the rate from 6.4 to, 3.2, but are loans as easy to get as they once were, and are they as burdensome as they have proven for a lot of students in the future?
Well, the average college student is now graduating with $26,000 in loans. I think that the moves that you've seen from a policy standpoint have locked in some pretty advantageous rates. So federal loans are certainly generally far preferable to private loans. But it's a bit of a misnomer to call it aid, because for the most part, you've got to, as you suggested, pay them back. And number two, one of the things that comes up now when you go to try to qualify for one of these is they'll come up with alternatives, which is probably a healthy thing. It will say things like, look, we'll give you this much in terms of a loan, but we're going to give you the option of a work-study program. So, for instance, you could work in the cafeteria. You've got to do something to offset the cost. So most people have some sort of mix. They may qualify for some loans, which they'll take. Maybe they get a scholarship. Maybe that's $2,000 coming from any place. As you said, it doesn't have to be academic or athletic. But it gets you back to savings real quickly, and that's where I think a lot of people struggle and need a better system.
Regina, can you point us towards some resources, perhaps online or via snail mail, where people can get more information on financial planning for school?
Sure. Thanks for asking. Well, right now there's a terrific contest that everybody should get in on because it takes 30 seconds to apply. It's for $100,000 would go into a college fund. It's called Big Dreams Start Small. You can find it at aarpcollegesavings.com/bigdreams. The whole intent there, it's brought to you by TIAA, CREF, and ARP, to help socialize this concept, make it more approachable. Everyone's got photos of their kids and grandkids. So to go there is to kind of feel like, okay, I get the idea here and there. From there, there are a lot of terrific links to help make this more approachable for folks. Because waiting, you know, time is not on your side when it comes to this.
That's Regina Lewis in conversation with Richard Neer. She's an expert on financial planning and host of USA Today's Money Quick Tips. And if you'd like more information about the subject matter, go to the website aarpcollegesavings.com/bigdreams. That's aarpcollegesavings.com/bigdreams. Richard Neer returns for some final words when we kick off the final segment of this big two-hour broadcast. Coming up next, when A Touch of Gray continues in just a moment.
You're age 65, and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly. That's socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly.
Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marx offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marx is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engines.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Securities.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we'll come to the final segment of our two-hour broadcast this weekend. And as is customary, we're going to chat a bit with our senior correspondent, Richard Neer. Richard, before you and I were talking about education and what really constitutes the sound building blocks of education. You mentioned cursive writing. I remember when I was a kid, if you counted on your fingers, it was considered cheating. If you had a calculator, that was considered having the textbook at your desk while you were doing a test. Now calculators are same as having a pencil. We often lose sight as we roll along through history as to what things we learn are deeply intrinsic to being enlightened human beings and what things we learn are just simply attached to the tasks at hand. And I think that we still are waging that battle.
Well, you know, there's a balance because I've got a nephew who's 28 years old who doesn't understand about paying credit cards, doesn't understand that you should try to pay it off as much as you can as opposed to just the minimum balance. He didn't even know that. And his parents went away for a while and left him in charge of taking care of the credit card thing. He paid the minimum, and they got socked with like a 21% interest charge.
Gosh.
As opposed to having the money in the bank and just paying it. He had the ability to do that. He had enough money to do that, but he didn't do it. And as a result, they got socked with that charge. And he didn't understand the difference.
Whose fault is that? Is that the educational system that didn't teach him about math? Is that his parents' fault for not knowing that he would do something boneheaded when they asked him to pay? In other words, if you have a kid, an adult kid, and you say, okay, you're in charge of paying the bills while we're away, should you not know that the guy doesn't know that he shouldn't pay the minimum? I mean, is it just a breakdown in communication between the parents and the kid? Or is it that the kid doesn't understand the concept of how to handle finances in the 21st century?
Well, are there courses that actually in school teach you how to keep a checkbook, how to pay bills, how to basically manage your macroeconomics, your household expenses and things like that? Or is that just something that the parents should teach?
Yes.
Do parents do it very often? Do they just say, well, I just assume that a kid understands that? I mean, who doesn't, right?
Yeah. But you see, we live in a culture, your point is well taken, but we live in a culture where we're encouraged to think that credit is an asset. That okay, you've got $5,000 more on your credit card. Some people immediately psychologically think, oh, I got $5,000 more to spend. I got $5,000 more in the bank. Oh, I was just approved for a new credit card. I now can have $13,000 more to spend. As opposed to, if things go bad and you need credit card to get out of trouble. I think that it's a cultural thing that this kid thinks that credit cards are just there because they fall off of trees. And if you can get away with paying $29 versus paying $529 this month, pay the minimal amount, that somehow you're ahead of the game.
Well, do you find even yourself when you're buying something and you just slide the credit card as opposed to actually opening your wallet, taking out cash and paying it, that it just seems easier to spend more money by swiping that card?
I know the feeling, but I'm smart enough to know that's not true. In other words, I've been around the block enough to know that that is a delusional impulse, and that it's not true. And knowing you, I realize you know it too.
Well, me too, but I think there are a lot of people who don't quite put that together. Like, there's a commercial running now with a lady who's kickboxing and she's having a bad day, and they say she forgot to pay her credit card bill on time. They say there's no late fee, there's no annual charge. And I'm going, well, okay, so the bank's making money somehow, so they must charge you an exorbitant amount of interest to make up for the late fees
and the charges, right?
Ain't,
they ain't doing it because they're friendly.
Yeah.
And I have to say we're out of time. So, very provocative. Richard Neer, our senior correspondent. Beverly Santanello, thank you for the fine job you do on the front line as our producer. Thank you, Carol Marks, for putting this all together. Kevin Casey, Stephen Wiseman, the entire Touch of Gray team. Michael Harrison inviting you to join us next weekend right here for another two-hour installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups.